So our gospel lesson today is from Mark chapter 5, reading verses 21 through 34. Listen to the word of God. I'll read it and then I'll go get my sermon notes, sorry. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And you can ponder that for just a moment. Well, one day I was in a public restroom and I overheard a conversation which made me cringe. It was between a young mother and her little girl, who was maybe 3 or 4 years old. And the girl had wet her pants and mom was perturbed and was cleaning her up. Now, I remember being perturbed by things like this. I thought my sons might, you know, never master that skill. But what made me wince was the shame she was heaping on her daughter. "Your friend Janice is younger than you are, and she doesn't wet her pants. Your friend Sally doesn't need diapers anymore." And on in this vein. She wasn't teaching her bladder control. She wasn't correcting bad behavior. She was just shaming her child, and worse yet, in the hearing of the other people in the room. I bet we all have memories of a time when someone has shamed us, when they've implied that there's just something fundamentally wrong with us. Because shame is all about our identity. Well, today we watched Jesus as he not only healed a woman, but he set her free from the shame which her culture had heaped upon her. She's a woman who has been bleeding for 12 long years. Think back to 12 years ago. And now imagine you've been bleeding that whole time. How exhausted would you be? And, you know, it was not only that she was tired. This bleeding was a social and religious problem as well. Blood is vested with oddly powerful properties in the Old Testament. Only the blood of an unblemished sacrifice can set you free from sin. But other sorts of blood is problematic. And so if you're eating kosher, you only eat thoroughly cooked meat. And if you're bleeding, you're a contagion to others. And the blood associated with women, with childbirth and menstruation, makes a woman zappa, unclean. And the rabbis had long dissertations on the problems associated with that. Now, being unclean in this sense is not like the way lepers are unclean, where they're actually considered dangerous to be around. It's more like a major inconvenience. Because when you're unclean, well, you're forbidden to touch other people. And you're not allowed to go to the temple. And everything you sit on is made a contagion to others. So guess what? People don't much want to be around you. And so you end up socially segregated. Can you imagine 12 years with little or no physical contact with other people? Mark makes no mention of a husband. And my guess is that's because he long since abandoned her. I mean, getting married young was absolutely the cultural norm for a woman. But women in the, you know, first century, their primary job was to produce heirs. And a woman who can't do that may not be worth keeping around. So our woman is ill, she's alone, she's weakened, and Mark tells us, she's broke from visiting doctors. Some things don't ever change, do they? And these doctors did her no good, which is hardly surprising given the state of first century medicine. And on top of all of this trouble, these things would be considered to be her fault. And we hear a hint of that in John 9. Jesus and his friends are walking down the road. They see a blind man, a man who's been blind since birth. And the disciples say to Jesus, as though this is a perfectly reasonable and normal question, who sent this man or his parents that he was born blind? Well, Jesus won't even play that game. He says, that's not what this is about. And he heals the man for the glory of God. I can easily imagine that this woman's neighbors have been for years now speculating about the nature of her sin that she is so afflicted. Well, I like this woman a lot. Because even though her culture has told her, you're a failure, you're unclean, you deserve your fate, she still shows a lot of chutzpah, a lot of audacity. She hears that Jesus has come to town. Jesus has this growing reputation as a healer. She needs to be healed. She's tried everything else. She's going to try this. She struggles out of bed. She pulls on some clothes, and she heads out to find him. She heads out into a crowd exactly where she's not supposed to be, because remember, she's not supposed to be in contact with other people. And she finds Jesus surrounded by a throng in conversation with Jairus, one of the local VIPs. Jairus is the local synagogue president. No one is paying any attention to her. Everybody's eyes are on Jesus. It's her chance to sneak into the crowd. I'm sure she's not trying to draw attention to herself, and just reach out and touch Jesus. And she touches, we're told, the hem of his cloak, and upon doing so, feels the healing power of God flood her body. But she's not in a position to jump up and down and, you know, say, hallelujah, I've been healed. Because you're not supposed to be there touching people, let alone touching a male rabbi. So she prepares to scurry away and savor her healing in private. But Jesus isn't gonna let her get away with this. Because Jesus wants to do more than simply heal her of a physical problem. And so Jesus says, who touched me? Now, the disciples, they think this is a ridiculous question. Jesus, the crowd is pressing in on you. What do you mean, who touched me? Everybody is touching you. But how do I think this woman heard the question? I'm in trouble now. Somehow, he knows what I've done. And I am going to be further shamed by this man and condemned in front of this crowd. But there's no place for her to hide. And Jesus is persistent. So she casts herself on his mercy. She falls down at his feet and admits the truth. And I picture her with her eyes averted, sort of cringing, waiting for that word of condemnation. And instead, what does she hear? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And Jesus addresses her by a term of endearment, daughter. He validates her action. Your faith has healed you. And he blesses her with shalom, with the peace of God. He reinstates her in the eyes of her community and sets her free from shame. Well, Jesus is still in the healing business, and he loves to set people free from shame. Has shame ever kept you from reaching out to Jesus? Ever kept you from admitting the worst about yourself or what you think of as the worst? If so, you can reach out to Jesus for some help with your trouble reaching out to Jesus. And if you find yourself immediately thinking, but who am I that God would help me? That is a sure sign that you're suffering from shame. What might it look like for you to be willing to step out under shame and reach out in prayer? Imagine Jesus asking you, who touched me? And you responding, it was me, Lord. It was me. I want your healing. I want to experience your love. I want to be of use to your purposes. I want your presence. And imagine Jesus calling you daughter or son and affirming that your faith has been the conduit through which he has healed you and then blessing you with peace. So let's pray right now. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, to get as comfortable as you can in a pew. I know they're not, designed for comfort. And simply give your attention to Jesus, who is present with us by his Holy Spirit. Notice your posture, your interior posture toward him. Are you open and reaching out eagerly? Or have you averted your eyes and are hiding in shame? Just take note of that. And I invite you to say something real to God in the silence, something real about your desires or needs. Jesus, here you are among us, still looking for those who reach out to you. I pray for those who need more grace in order to do so, that you would stir up in them the courage to reach out toward you. And I pray for those who have reached out and ask that you would flood them with your healing presence, that each one would leave knowing that they have encountered you. Amen. I invite you now to join me in affirming our faith. I believe you're going to stand for this using the historic words of the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. As we go through the week, this scripture really did touch me, to put it in a different way. So a woman reached out and she touched the garments. She didn't touch Jesus, she touched his garments. And she believed that just by touching him, she would be healed. It's such a fascinating thing to have that much faith, to know that just by touching or reaching out, and knowing that if you do reach out to God and to Christ, he's standing there waiting for you. He will touch you, and you can touch him. So as you go through the week, remember that. Remember that you can reach out, you can touch God, and you can touch Jesus, both together, because they are one. And they will be there, and they'll stand beside you through any hard times you have. The ushers will please come forward for the offering. Please join me in the unison prayer of dedication. Loving God, as we bring these our offerings, we ask you to bless them for your work and to bless us in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We shall not offer God that which costs us nothing. Amen.
Please be seated. We have one prayer request that came in this morning for the, I may not pronounce this correctly, De Rossiers family of Groton and the sudden death of the son and brother, Brian. So we will include that in our prayers today. Let us pray. O God of great compassion, hear your children as we pray. We surround you with our needs for healing and restoration, yet we fail to reach out and take your hand or touch your garment. We cry out to you to make our lives right again, but when you call us forth in faith, we shrink back into the refuge of the crowd. Forgive our lack of faith, and do not leave us comfortless, but receive us and make us whole. We lift into your light those for whom we are praying, and those whom we are praying in far in the privacy of our hearts. Lord, we lift Brian's family to you and ask that they would know your comfort at this tragic time. Mighty and merciful God, may your kindness be known to all. Respond to all who cry to you. Be gracious to all who come in need. Open the eyes of those who never pray for themselves. Have mercy on those in misery. Deal gently with those who sit in darkness. Increase daily the number of those who love and serve you. Preserve our land from all things hurtful. Preserve your church from all dangerous error. Preserve us from forgetting that you are our Lord and Savior. Be gracious to those places made desolate by war, famine, disease, natural disaster, or persecution. Grant that the course of the world may be so ordered in obedience to your will, that all people may live in security and freedom from want, and their children grow up to know peace. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is strong to save. Amen.